This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Differing and unconfirmed reports about how many U.S. troops, if any, were killed in a suicide bombing attack in Syria today, for which ISIS has claimed responsibility. Reuters is reporting at least four U.S. soldiers were killed while conducting a routine patrol at the time. CBS News saying it was told by a senior military official that two U.S. soldiers were killed. President Trump monitoring the situation and has been fully briefed about it, according to White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders. Day two of the confirmation hearing for Attorney General nominee William Barr has begun before the Senate Judiciary Panel, but unlike day one, Barr is not present today. As the panel chairman, Senator Lindsey Graham, says,
today the purpose is to hear from people that have concerns and support.
And this is USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the healthcare hotline. Are you on Medicare and or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment, at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 877-875-5909. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 877-875-5909, or go to mdtopical.com.
In Kenya, a deadly siege at a hotel complex in Nairobi has ended after at least 14 people were killed, including at least one American. The Kenyan president says,
we have dealt with the threat decisively and shown our enemies and the world that we as a country are ready to deal with any threat to our nation.
The terrorist gunmen held off police for hours until they were finally killed this morning. The Kenyan president saying over 700 people had to be evacuated to safety during the attack. Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi now asking President Trump to reschedule his State of the Union address. Pelosi says the annual speech should be delayed until after the partial government shutdown's resolved. The address is supposed to be on January 29th, Pelosi citing security concerns related to the shutdown. The world champion Boston Red Sox will visit the White House on February 15th, and this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The U.S. House is condemning white nationalism and white supremacy in the wake of Representative Steve King's remarks in an interview recently. Yesterday on Capitol Hill, House lawmakers voted overwhelmingly in support of a resolution. In an interview with The Times, the Iowa Republican had been quoted as saying, quote, white nationalist, white supremacist, Western civilization, how did that language ever become offensive? End quote. House Republican leadership also stripping King of his committee assignments. A law designed to protect Alabama's Confederate-era monuments from removal has been ruled unconstitutional by a Jefferson County judge. The judge ruling on Monday that the Alabama Monument Preservation Act violates free speech rights. He also says most citizens in the predominantly black Birmingham area were repulsed at the monument at the center of the lawsuit. The Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall has said he is going to file an appeal of that ruling. and Jersey Shore reality TV star Mike the Situation Sorrentino has begun an 8-month prison sentence in upstate New York for tax evasion. The 36-year-old streaming his last moments of freedom on his Instagram page yesterday. He'll be serving the time at a federal correctional institution in Mount Hope, New York. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Deagle, MD of NutraMedical.com, announcing the breakthrough Red Deer Velvet DR. It delivers the protected building blocks of all organs and tissues, allowing your own stem cells as architects and engineers to regenerate you. Not since fetal life, when aging does not occur, has such an amazing NutraMed been available to help heal you and regenerate you. Anti-aging requires that you correct mineral, activated nutraceutical, and jump the gene defects and poor diet you have to deliver the cellular tools for regeneration. You must remove old damaged cells and replace them with your young healthy cells to wind the biological clock to a younger you. Order your Red Deer Velvet DR now at NutraMedical.com 24/7 or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, N-U-T-R-I, Medical, M-E-D-I-C-A-L.com. Or call our order line, 888-212-8871.
Back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, it's the way we roll, ladies and gentlemen. How you doing? Hope you're having a great day, regardless of the weather. Well, I'll tell you, here in California, it's been raining for the last couple of days. And what does that song say? It never rains in Southern California? I don't think so. It looks like 4 days of rain here. Of course, we have little to complain about with the drought conditions of the state. Rain is welcomed, but you know, like anything, it seems to be whenever you get too much of one thing, you always get too much of the other, right? When there's too much drought, you get too much rain. And it is falling, and, you know, people out on the west here are carefully driving. Although, you know, when I was coming down from Long Beach down to Oceanside last night, a lot of cars off to the side, you know, people wanting to, I guess, defy gravity or whatever. I don't understand it, you know, what they're trying to accomplish by speeding down the road here. But anyway, not too good, but, you know, doing okay. But as far as the Midwest and up to the Northeast, we got snow abounding. Spoke with Chris Garcia earlier in D.C., and, you know, it's a winter wonderland, of course, for those of us who are romantics and look at that and think, oh, winter wonderland. And, yeah, you say that until you got a snowblower in your hand and you're shoveling snow, and, you know, so much for, you know, the charm and romance of it all, right? Well, anyway, we got lots of things to talk about. Our guest is coming to us from Oslo. If he can come to us, we're having a little bit of technical difficulty trying to get a hold of him right now. So meanwhile, let's get you know, caught up on, you know, what's happening in your world. I think you heard me earlier talk about, you know, if you go to some stores, there's like 500 stores now that are employing a robot. You know, the old cleanup on aisle 3. Well, they got robots now doing this, and it's got kind of goofy eyes. Of course, they're fake, but each robot has 8 cameras, some directed down at the floor. Others can see shelves. The robots can eventually be repurposed to help monitor a store's inventory. So, you know, that's a matter of time. So you got the little Watson effect that's taking place there. Right now, 25 robots are operating at certain Giant, Martin's, and Stop and Shop stores. 30 more arriving each week. And this is being produced by Badger Technologies. Tim Rowland, who's the CEO, says its camera-equipped robots stop after detecting a potential spill, but to make sure humans working in a control center and in the Philippines review the imagery before triggering a cleanup message over the loudspeaker. So, you know, before they grabs you by the shirt, oh, we got a spill on your shirt here, and the robot grabs a hold of you. Fortunately, there's it's not totally without human involvement, but this is what it's coming down to. So Marty is the robot, and they project something like 500 grocery stores. And so get ready. It's coming to a grocery store near you. And what did you make of the Brexit brouhaha that's going on? I mean, I'm not surprised here, at least from my perspective. You know, I think that Prime Minister May had, you know, a very mixed idea of how to incorporate what the people of England and, you know, what they voted for in getting out of Brexit. And she tried to find some middle ground. Well, of course, the European Union is going, hey, look, at you know, you're either with us or you're against us, and you can't, you know, this isn't a cafeteria type of program that you can just pick and choose and take what you want and leave behind. You know, that's not fair to everybody else. It really compromises the integrity of the EU and what it hopes to represent. And, you know, here they are getting to the, you know, as politicians always do, they always wait to the end, you know, and then they scramble for a negotiation, put everybody up against the wall, and then they go, oh, okay, well, you know, let's surrender and accept whatever we can get here, because otherwise, without some sort of, you know, trade arrangement and deal, you know, whether it has to do with the EU or others, you know, they're out there hanging. And I think that they've yet to affirm up what they're going to do with the United States. And although, you know, you can appreciate that as far as the EU is concerned, I mean, a good concept, I think, you know, was the right idea. Let's corroborate and make things work together. But, you know, dealing with central planning and being, you know, confined and restricted by central planning, like the way the EU works, it became increasingly problematic for, you know, for the people of England. And we can appreciate the situation that they're in. And so they voted resoundingly, you know, hey, get us out of here. You know, we want a better control of our destiny. And, of course, you know, it has not fared well for Theresa May, and a resounding vote of no confidence. But I think it's because she tried to play too much in the middle. Again, in my humble opinion, I'm sure there's others that know more specifically and better about this, but you could just see it from an outsider's point of view that you needed to have somebody who was passionate about this, that was really fixed on, okay, we are moving away from the EU and we got to move things along, and they should have been further down the road here with this. But now they're in the 11th hour, and now they're really in trouble city, and they're going to need somebody to come in and take over to really, you know, right the ship and scramble this thing together. But they put themselves behind the eight ball because it's going to be a mad scramble, because here they are. I mean, what is it? The end of March or something is when officially, you know, all deals are off. It's done. And adios, amigos. You know, we'll keep an eye on that and keep you up to date as to what's going on. Did you happen to catch the Gillibrand announcement, you know, last night? I was seeing video of that. You know, and here she is. She's making her announcement on the Colbert Show. And, you know, it was kind of a yawn, right? I mean, the way she opened up, it wasn't like it was real excitement. I mean, I didn't see any balloons or confetti or anything like that. It was just like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to do this thing. And I mean, there was just a seeming lack of confidence and enthusiasm and passion for her announcement. And of course, Colbert's, oh man, you know, you did it here, and you know, and Colbert, you know, this is a big groundbreaker for the Colbert Show, that you've got a presidential candidate, of course, one after probably the dust settles, probably could be as close to about 30 candidates. So it's going to be a bloodbath for 2020, which is already underway just on the Democratic side. So quite interesting. So get ready, and there will be more pronouncements and more announcements that will be taking place. We'll keep you up to date on that. And of course, you know, meanwhile, we are in the continuance of a government shutdown. 800,000 non-essential employees. How would you like to be regarded as a non-essential employee? You know, you're not getting a paycheck, but you know you will. But you're regarded as non-essential. I don't know about you, but that doesn't make me warm and fuzzy. I wouldn't want to be non-essential on anything, much less a place of employment. But that really says something about our government. I mean, here we are. It says something about us, we the people. I mean, we're paying for non-essential employees. This is how... And we're not talking, you know, like a couple of dozen. I mean, are you kidding me? 800,000 people. And I feel for them. You know, I feel for them because these are our fellow Americans who have counted on this government to do the right thing. And, hey, they're guilty of, you know, taking the job and, you know, working on behalf of, you know, we the people, and hopefully with the best of interest. But here they are. I mean, they've got real family issues. They got bills to pay. And as, you know, one congressman had related that, you know, talked to an employee who had to take out a loan for a mortgage. I mean, you know. Boy, I'm like you. I'm over all this, and for all this stubbornness that everybody, including our government, is being inconvenienced. You know, we got to get these things moving along.
You may need this herbal tea for relief right away. So write this down: drmillersclinic.com. If you take meds, then suffer stomach distress, constipation, indigestion, acid reflux, and bloating, and nothing else helps, get Dr. Miller's Holy Tea or Super Holy Tea, a cleansing, detoxifying herbal tea now available at great rates direct from Dr. Miller's office. Call or click 888-660-7039 or drmillersclinic.com.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now. Please, don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want?
Let it move. Let it move. Let it
way you like us, fresh and independent. Bill Martinez here coming at you Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. We were able to connect with Oslo, I guess, so we're welcoming our guest, Erlen Kaga. Welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Erlen, good to have you with us. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm fine. I'm sitting here in Oslo, yes.
Yeah, well, good for you. How's the weather? It's, you know, we've got water on the West Coast and up in the East and through the Midwest, all kinds of snow here in America. So what's your weather like there in Oslo today?
Oslo is absolutely white today. Even downtown Oslo is absolutely covered by white snow. It's a beautiful day. It's dark, of course. You know, we hardly see the sun in Norway this time of the year.
Exactly. Well, Erlen is a explorer, lawyer, art collector, publisher, author, the first person to have completed the Three Poles Challenge on foot, North, South Pole, the summit of Mount Everest, has written six previous books on exploration, philosophy, and art collecting, and runs a publishing company there in Oslo. And we want to talk about his book, Silence in the Age of Noise. You know, Erlen, I had just written a commentary here a couple months back about how loud things have gotten in America. For some reason, people think that if they get louder, they're more right. So
yeah,
it's kind of ridiculous, you know?
I don't think that's only an American thing. I think that's, you know, it's kind of all over. It's so much noise. And as I said, I did these expeditions 15, 20, 25 years ago, sailing the oceans, walking to the poles, and climbing Everest. And that was very much about silence. And since then, I got three teenage daughters and a busy job, and my life has been about noise ever since. And that's...
Exactly.
That's why I sat down to write this book on silence, because I start to understand that my daughters didn't know what silence is. You know, they've always been through their telephones, mobile device, and kind of, you know, running away from themselves, living through other people. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, when we were kids growing up here in America, there was a song called Silence is Golden.
Beautiful song.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, and to this day, you know, I think of that song because, you know, whether it's, you know, the noise of traffic, everyday life, all these things that bombard us, that distract us, does it not?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think, you know, eventually now today, it's so much noise that you can hardly hear it. While when you walk to the South Pole, like I did for 50 days and nights under the midnight sun in total solitude, no radio contact, somehow, you know, you can both hear and feel that silence. And then, you know, you start to see, understand that your brain is actually wider than the sky. But the problem is, you know, when you live through noise, I just know too, I Google something, I find what I'm looking for, and 20 minutes later, I'm still Googling. So, you know, this is a problem for me too. But when you kind of venture into silence, life becomes so much richer. So I don't think you should have silence throughout the whole day, but, you know, every now and then.
Well, I think it's a good repose, you know. It's a reset when you do that. I know every morning I make it. It's an intention for me and a purpose to be in silence. I mean, it's also a meditation time. It's a spiritual time for me. But, you know, to your point about silence, to absolutely, as God would say, be still and know that I'm God, you know, that's a challenge sometimes to do that. You know, you sit there and you think, okay, I'm going to be still here, you know, for a minute. And, you know, about 15 seconds later, your brain is starting to run amok on you. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, it's because when I think about noise, I'm not thinking about sounds in particular. I'm thinking about, like you say, that, you know, even by thinking, because if it, you know, keep on thinking, they think about the past, they think about the future. And when you can't stop doing that, that's, you know, that's my experience too. That's kind of noise too.
Yeah.
I think, you know, man and women has, you know, have always had a hard time dealing in silence, sitting in a room by themselves doing nothing. But today, thanks to, you know, the smartphones and other devices, it's, you know, it's the level of noise is so much more extreme. I hear people complaining about, you know, they have, you know, a lack of time, and, you know, we don't have any material poverty, but they have this lack of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like such a good thing to say, but I don't think it's correct. I think, you know, we do have enough time. Life is long.
Right.
To listen to ourselves often enough to look up from our phones.
Right. Well, maybe you and I ought to come up with an app for our phones, a silence app. What do you think?
I think you can use techniques. I think you can make apps. But I think, you know, the simplest is to, you know, try to forget, you know, the world, shut out the world for a few minutes, a few hours every now and then,
mm-hmm.
and listen to the silence within. Right. And, you know, that silence is there all the time waiting for you.
Right. How do you define silence?
You know, I find silence, you know, in the morning when I wake up and I have a shower, then I cook for my breakfast for my daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Late in the day, you know, when I walk to the office, I walk a few stations to the office, when I'm cooking, and of course when I do the dishes. And if I do a long walk in the forest outside Oslo, I find silence, you know. And, of course, when my kids were small, it was, you know, not that easy, but it's still possible. So when people say to me, you know, I'm too busy, I'm too important, so I don't manage to, you know, experience any silence, you know, you can walk the stairs
right.
to your office, and then you will have some silence. And so I think people underestimate themselves when they say that, you know, I'm not able to find this silence within.
Is silence as simple as being in a place where there's no noise, no sound, where you're quiet in a sense to where you can hear your own heartbeat?
Yeah, I think that's a good start. But as I said, if you then are thinking too much while you're out there in this, you know, silent place, you know, then it will still be much noise in your head. So I think, you know, I think you can actually find silence within almost anywhere. Of course, it's easier when it's quiet, but I think you can actually sit, you know, in the middle of a crossroad and experience in the silence. So I think, you know, it's possible anywhere, but, you know, you have to be willing to do it, and you have to be, you know, choose the most difficult of two options, because noise is always the easiest, you know, to Google, check the news 5 times in an hour, although nothing has happened.
Yes.
That's the easiest solution, and you know, the slightly more difficult solution is to listen to yourself and get to know yourself better.
Right. Why would you say, you know, today in the 21st century world in which we live in, Erling, that, you know, silence is so important and probably, you know, quite healthy when you think about it?
I think it certainly is healthy, and I think it's important because silence is about yourself. It's about getting to know yourself, your inner self. We have this fantastic opportunity to live a rich life, and we're missing out on that opportunity if you always are connected, if you're always living to other people, if you're always adapt to others' expectations and distractions. So I think, you know, it's some of the meanings of life is to get to know yourself. That's one of the oldest advices ever. And
right.
I think that advice has lasted for more than 1,000 years. You should take seriously.
Well, get your hands a copy of his books, Silence in the Age of Noise, because one of the questions I didn't get a chance to ask and really deserves more conversation, and that is that we must create silence, you say, but we're out of time, so we're just going to tease our listeners, so this way they will get, you know, their hands on your book, Silence in the Age of Noise. Erling Kagge has been with us. Erling, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill.
Take care.
Thank you, Bill. All the best.
All the best to you.
This message is sponsored by AmeriGlide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call AmeriGlide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple 2-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stair lift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Differing and unconfirmed reports about how many U.S. troops, if any, were killed in a suicide bombing attack in Syria today, for which ISIS has claimed responsibility. Reuters is reporting at least 4 U.S. soldiers were killed while conducting a routine patrol at the time. CBS News saying it was told by a senior military official that 2 U.S. soldiers were killed. President Trump monitoring the situation and has been fully briefed about it, according to White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders. Day 2 of the confirmation hearing for Attorney General nominee William Barr has begun before the Senate Judiciary Panel, but unlike Day 1, Barr is not present today. As the panel chairman, Senator Lindsey Graham, says,
today the purpose is to hear from people that have concerns and support.
And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life.
Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. Welcome. Thank you for sharing a part of your day with us 28 minutes before the top of the hour. You know, a big part of our show is history. We love history, and there's a reason for it. Not only that we want to learn it so we don't repeat the errors, but we learn from history, but there's also just incredible stories. You know, we talked with Sandy Patty yesterday, and it reminded me that we all have stories to tell. And Ryan Cole is joining us, and Ryan, who has a story of his own as an author, I mean, you know, a rich background, and he's done us, you know, such a favor in bringing us to understand Light Horse Harry Lee, the rise and fall of a revolutionary hero. Ryan is the former assistant to Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels, speechwriter at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, holds degrees in history and journalism from Indiana University. Ryan, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to have you here. As I say, you know, on this show, we love history. It is honored, and we give it plenty of place to where we can hear these stories because they're so important. As you write, the history of the American Revolution is written by and about the victors, but with the founding fathers shrouded in more controversy today than ever before. Separating the heroes from the villains is not so black and white. So how should we remember a man like Major General Henry Lighthorse Harry Lee III, the father of Robert E. Lee, who rose to glory, helped shape the fabric of America, but ultimately ended his life in ruin? So the first question is, who is Harry Lee?
Harry Lee Riley was a member of one of Virginia's first families. He was a hero of the American Revolution. He was a silver-tongued statesman in the early years of the Republic. He was a three-time governor of Virginia. He was the man who Washington and Hamilton turned to subdue the Whiskey Rebellion. Mm-hmm. He was the man who eulogized Washington as first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen. He was a protege of George Washington. He was a classmate of James Madison at Princeton, which was then the University of New Jersey. He was a comrade of Alexander Hamilton. He was a arch-nemesis of Thomas Jefferson. He was a founding father. And in one of these strange twists of American history, he's the father of Robert E. Lee.
Yeah, go figure, huh? Well, yeah. What, I mean, but here he is. I mean, well, you know, when you think about the founding fathers and the individual stories, boy, they're just, they're intense and magnificent when you look back, you know, what they did. I mean, you know, for a time such as then, here they are. I mean, brilliant, brilliant men. And, you know, and it's good to be able to go back and review this. So what happened with Harry Lee?
Well, Harry Lee, just to, you know, touch on what you were saying about the founders and how difficult it is to distinguish heroes from villains in this day and age. Harry Lee is so remarkable because he brings it all together, because he has so many virtues. He's an intellectual, he's a historian, he's an incredibly brave and innovative and intrepid soldier. He's a pretty savvy politician, maybe not quite as savvy as some of his contemporaries, but he has really great qualities, and they mingle with some not so great qualities. Grand ego, just unhinged ambition, very bad judgment in terms of his personal business, and also some political decisions that pretty much seal his fate in terms of his political ambitions. But all these qualities live together in this man, and he had this incredible, complex, tragic in the end life. I keep saying that Alexander Hamilton's life made a beloved musical, but Harry Lee's life would make a really touching, tragic soap opera. I'd really enjoy getting to know Lee and telling the story, and I hope other people will enjoy getting to know him, in part because it's an incredibly human one, and there's no easy distinction here between was he a hero or was he a villain. It's all here. It's a complex human being, and it's in many ways I found it touching to see a founding father in such human terms.
Exactly. So for you, what motivated you? How did you come to get connected to the story?
Well, you know, as a studying history and just being a history buff, you know, you said you love history on your show. I do too. There's something that always struck me as strange was that Robert E. Lee came from a family of revolutionaries and patriots. That just didn't quite add up to me. And so I got around to learning about who those people were. It wasn't just his father. You know, there were distant cousins, another branch of the family, Richard Henry Lee, Francis Lightfoot Lee. These guys were huge players in the Revolution, political players.
Right.
But when I started to learn about Light Horse Harry in particular, all of a sudden I realized Robert was just a peripheral character here. What we had here was an incredibly fascinating man who lived a life of real merit, contributed to the founding of the country in multiple ways, and had a just incredibly compelling story. And quickly I realized this was, as a historian, what I really love is storytelling. I think that the best history is, and the best historians, McCullough going back in time, and Barbara Tuchman and Walter Lord, these people who told stories. They have kind of a journalist's eye, and they found something compelling, and they shared it. And this subject to me was just totally suited to that type of retelling. And I instantly, as soon as I, went through the secondary material and got to the primary material, I realized this is a huge figure and it would make a wonderful, wonderful book.
Yeah.
And the rest is history.
And you just let it kind of write itself out with all these different topics and ways to look at it. The name Light Horse, where did that come from?
From his service during the war, his dashing service in the saddle. He was one of George Washington's most trusted and beloved horse soldiers. And he had a, it's interesting, his career, particularly he was in the Northern Theater initially, and then he went to the Southern Theater as the war reached its conclusion. And a lot of the battles he was involved with are ones that we wouldn't necessarily know, or ones some that even have names that, you know, aren't set piece battles, because a lot of his service was in between the lines, what we would call guerrilla warfare, partisan warfare now, raiding British supply trains, fighting with Hessians. But if you read the history, and you get this image of him as this very dashing, daring, bold cavalry soldier who anyone who saw him ride by was struck by his appearance and how gallant and how handsome and how immaculately dressed he was. It just comes out as a really swashbuckling figure.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and you can see, you know, the book's not about Robert, but of course he always comes up again, but you can see in some ways, you know, if you want to make the argument those type of traits are passed down from generations, you can see some of that in Robert, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And again, you know, when you really stop to consider, you know, what was happening in the early foundings of our country, you know, the heroes that stepped up, the men, and you know, women for that matter, who found opportunity and that could understand, you know, the passion of this great American experiment and what they were embarking on, you know, probably in many ways, maybe just a vague idea of what they wanted to accomplish, but they were willing to put it all on the line. I mean, and we're just not talking, you know, like you say, a couple of people in a bar. I mean, this was, you know, this was a bit pervasive, although it wasn't 100% either by no means. But yet there was a critical mass of people, you know, writing their own historic stories, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Lee's interesting because, like so many of his contemporaries, he was fired by this patriotism, by this philosophical idea of man's relation to monarch or man's relation to the state, and that fueled his compulsion to become a soldier and to help America win its independence. But, you know, we speak to the human element here. He also was fueled by his own ambition. It was a mixture of, you know, he philosophically believed in the cause of the colonies separating from Great Britain, but he also saw himself as emerging from this as a hero and growing.
And why not? He's a humanoid like the rest of us. You know, so it's only natural. Ryan Cole is with us, and we're talking more about Light Horse Harry Lee. Stay with us.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat. I would flip-flop all night long. I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Listening to Bill Martinez live.
God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Till I am my soul on fire. Lord, I'm longing for your ways. I'm waiting for the day when I am my soul on fire. Till I am my soul on fire.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Live.
Hey, just the way you like it, as we continue to pursue the truth, no matter where it leads, and even in history. And we welcome Ryan Cole back with us, who has written extensively about American history and literature for the Wall Street Journal, National Review, The New Criterion, and others. He served on the staff of the U.S. Abraham Lincoln Bicentennial Commission as a speechwriter at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and as an assistant to Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels. His new book just released, Light Horse Harry Lee, The Rise and Fall of a Revolutionary Hero. Ryan, I will say this. I appreciate that you honored your mother and your father by dedicating this book to them, as you say, because you owe them everything.
Yeah, it's actually quite emotional. My father passed away as I was finishing the book, so it's a bittersweet. It's very bittersweet, but I believe that somewhere he's looking on proudly. So,
well, that's awesome. You know, I often say to friends, because you know, for those of us who have lost a father, and some of us have both a father and mother, we have a special, it's a fraternal order. I mean, we understand that loss. My father has been gone for 14 years, and there's not a day that goes by that, you know, I don't remember. And I'm so glad for that, because he was such a blessing, as I'm sure your father was to you. And, you know, as I say to people, it wouldn't be so bad if they just weren't so darn good.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, that's the bargain, isn't it? That we wouldn't miss them so much, but we didn't love them so much. So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Light Horse Harry Lee, The Rise and Fall of a Revolutionary Hero, your latest book, which goes into really this incredible
history of Harry Lee. As you say, the rise and fall. I mean, here's this very accomplished man. He's there. He's got ambition. And it looks like things are pretty rosy for him. I mean, because he's in the right circle. You know, he's hanging with Washington, the rest of the founding fathers, Madison and that. And, you know, something happens. What happens that alters the trajectory of his career?
Well, it's a combination of things. There's a real trajectory, and you can see it even early on in his life and through his military career. It's just, this, as we talked about earlier, this combination of talent and bravery, but also it mingled with just uncontrolled ego and ambition, and it got the better of him eventually. And, you know, he went through some, we were just talking about losing loved ones. He lost his first wife, Matilda. And he loses two sons, one shortly after being born, and then Philip Ludwell Lee, who's his heir, he loses when he's governor of Virginia, and it sends him into this incredible depression. But he emerges from it, and he ends up marrying and doing so in a spectacular fashion to Ann Carter, who is another member of one of Virginia's foremost families. And you think he's set now. He's governor of Virginia. He's moving in these circles with the men who are controlling the country at that point. He has wealth, or at least land wealth, even though he's making terrible business decisions at the time. But there's just something in his nature that won't allow him to glide into success. And it's a combination of very bad business deals. He's immediately after the country is formed and the Constitution is ratified, if not even a couple years before that, he, and this is not uncommon amongst the founding fathers, Robert Morris, the financier of the Revolution, or James Wilson, one of the intellectual leaders of the Revolution, are both doing this. But they're buying land. The population is going to move west. Roads will be built. You know, canals will be built. People and goods will travel in that direction, and land that's inexpensive will become valuable as population moves onto it. And Lee sees a fortune to be made, and immediately he's acquiring and selling and acquiring again land at such a clip that he eventually can't even keep track of it all. He's, you know, one of the most interesting things that happens here is that at some point he makes a trade to George Washington, who trades Lee, one of his fine stallions, for some land. I think it was in Kentucky. And Washington finds out that Lee had already promised that land to someone else. Oh. So Lee, it's incredibly embarrassing, has to apologize to Washington. But he just did not have a head for business the way that, say, Washington did. He wasn't a micromanager. He had much more enthusiasm than he had skill. So that seals his financial fate by the dawning of the 19th century. He's so badly in debt, he's often in hiding or on the run trying to evade his creditors, and he ends up in debtor's prison. So there's that, and then there's the political fate that he seals. He antagonizes Thomas Jefferson. He actually hears from a common acquaintance that Thomas Jefferson at Monticello has been asked about George Washington during his presidency, and Jefferson says, well, Washington's okay. He'll be fine as long as he has the council of wise men around him. Now, to Lee, who's admired Washington since his boyhood, this is just blasphemy, basically saying this is basically an elderly man who has to rely on younger men to make his way down the road. So, of course, what does Lee do? He tattles. He goes to Washington, and he says, I heard that Thomas Jefferson said this. And then this, of course, gets back to Thomas Jefferson. And this is all happening just as Thomas Jefferson is about to become the dominant force in American politics. So he seals his fate there, and then the final act is after the contested election of 1800, Lee votes for Aaron Burr when the outcome is sent to Congress. Instead of against Alexander Hamilton's wishes, Lee votes for Aaron Burr as opposed to Thomas Jefferson. That's the end of his political career, of his political ambitions. And then the piece de resistance is that he gets pummeled by a mob in Baltimore in 1812 for defending a Federalist newspaper that's antagonistic towards President James Madison and the war effort. And that robs him of whatever remaining health he had. And he spends the last few years of his life wandering the West Indies in search of hoping that the weather would help him restore his health, but also likely trying to evade his debts. And he's isolated from his wife, his children, the young children like Robert, who don't even know him. And that's how it ends. It ends, he makes his way back to America in 1818 and dies off the coast of Georgia. But he opened his life with prospects as fair as any man in colonial America, and he ends a vagrant, basically.
Well, it's so tragic. I mean, because as you open up talking about Light Horse Harry Lee, he's this gallant cavalryman. He's spit and polished, very confident. And, boy, I'll tell you, the end of his life, rather cruel, as you say. He exits in tatters, apart from his family, apart from his country, apart from the things that probably gave him, you know, a lot of satisfaction early on in life. But meanwhile, there's a diary involved here. Tell us about that.
Yeah, he carried a diary with him when he left. At the time, the family was living in Alexandria, Virginia, which is now Old Town, and the homes are still there that he lived in. And when he left, he carried with him a little leather-bound diary, which he just made observations about what he was thinking, who he was meeting, how he was feeling. At first page, he references the injuries inflicted on him by the mob in Baltimore. And there's notes for his sons that he had hoped his sons would grow to be like George Washington, would be men who would have huge impacts in American history. There's all sorts of interesting things in there, recipes for mead, talk about what he was eating, many references to that reveal what a fantastic intellect he had. He knew about the ancient Greeks and ancient Romans. He knew about ancient religions. He knew about, you know, he was talking about contemporary politics in Russia. But as you read it, as it goes on and on, you get the sense that this is someone who's isolated, who's alone, who realizes that their life is ebbing. And all these things you mentioned, all these comforts that he would have known, all the things that brought him joy, he was so far from. And in many ways that it's a very dark document to read through it. And, you know, I try to use it to kind of bookend my biography, because the most surprising thing is that the book is among his few possessions when he dies,
exactly,
off the coast of Georgia. And somehow, in the middle of the Civil War, you know, half a century later, someone finds this book amongst the belongings of their late father, and they send it to Robert E. Lee in the middle of the Civil War, along with a note that says, you know, your father was fighting in a war revolution just like you are now. And it's been fascinating to think about Robert must have, if he read through it, he would have seen his own name. And remember, he didn't know his father that well.
Yeah, so exactly. Feeling like all these years he's disconnected from his father, and now he's seeing that his father, though he wasn't near and dear, so to speak, his father thought about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
Wow. I mean, and what an incredible story. But could you imagine not having any connection with your father, and all of a sudden somebody hands you a diary, and here you are learning about your father through his own personal writings, you know, and meanwhile, you know, trying to piece together other aspects of his life, you know, prior to those days when, you know, he was documenting, you know, some of his most personal thoughts.
Yeah, and the kicker is that you receive the diary and you're in the middle of fighting a war that is dividing apart the country that your father helped unite and form.
Wow.
It's one of those weird things that transpires in the course of history.
Yeah, it's like one of those deals you sit there and go, wow, maybe I need to set this aside till after the Civil War to really, you know, draw full benefit of it all. But this is incredible. Ryan Cole, Light Horse Harry Lee, that's the title of his new book. Ryan, thank you so much for being with us. This will be featured on our website.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.